Rock and Roll Hall of Fame musician Elvis Costello is back out on tour after a long break for the pandemic. Costello managed to keep busy in that time. He released two albums, including last September's Spanish Model, which takes songs from Costello's 1978 album, This Year's Model, and reworks them in Spanish. Listen to this new version of the classic Pump It Up with new vocals by Colombian musician Juanes. In January, Costello released The Boy Named If, recorded with his band The Imposters. It even comes with an illustrated storybook. Elvis Costello joined us last December to talk about the project. Let's get right to the music. This is A Boy Named If. I'm looking so and so fortunate stiff. You said you never knew me, but I'm the one you want to be with. You said this album is about taking the listener on a journey from a bewildered boyhood to that mortifying moment when you're told to stop acting like a child. Where did this album come from?
Well, it comes from last summer, where I found myself, you know, there was going to be a good long while before we saw the stage again. But for me, it wasn't about going back inside and feeling sorry for yourself. It was about, well, obviously, first of all, writing the songs, some of which I had sketches of, and suddenly they all came to me very, you know, fairly rapidly. I had the guitar in my hands. I knew there were many of them were in a major key. I don't really write in reaction, but it was just time to do this.
Let's hear some more of the music. This one's called The Difference. So, you know, many of the songs on this album are lighthearted and kind of jaunty and playful. If you take a close listen to this one, it's actually quite dark. What were you trying to do?
Well, it is quite dark because it's about a woman, a young woman who's trying to keep out of the clutches of a drunken father, you know. It has some really good musical lifts, you know, that as you say, are bright sounding, but then you start to listen. But they also have a fairy tale element to them that some very dark things happen within fairy tales. And as a subtitle, this record, The Boy Named If and Other Children's Stories, the if stands for imaginary friend, which is an endearing invention that children sometimes make to pass off blame on another person who's invisible to adults and therefore, you know, can take the blame for breaking a cup. That's less endearing when it's a 35-year-old saying, I had to stay out all night and I had to sleep with her because, you know, some other impulse in me made me do it. So there are in this a way of telling these songs, which I made into a reality, making a physical object of a 88-page book of short stories, which carry the same titles as these songs, and give either the background, the foreground, the moment before or the moment after the song, all illustrated to resemble a children's story, but many of the songs being very far from children's tales.
Yeah, let me ask you that, Elvis Costello. How old are you now? 67 years old?
Old enough to know better.
Exactly. Why are you thinking so much about childhood right now?
Well, I'm not. I'm thinking about who we have become and how we become, maybe. And part of that, I suppose, has something to do with there being less road up ahead than behind. You know, this year I became the senior member of my mother's family as well as my father's family, if you know what I mean. That gives you some reason to ponder, like, how you get to where you are and the things that you understand, the component parts of how you become who you are. There's a song on this record called The Death of Magic Thinking, which considers the moment in which you lose the ability to think magically, to do things unselfconsciously, dance, skip, rhyme, and haven't yet encountered either sexual desire or algebra. And then, as it says in the song, maybe a girl who's only a month or two older, who knows secrets that this boy doesn't know. This is the scene that the chorus describes. She took my hand in an experiment. She put it where it shouldn't be. She put it underneath her dress and waited to see. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to see. It was just a game, I guess. One that I didn't know how to play. But if I'd never known that spark, stumbled on in all innocence. Without the shame that can turn things stands in the words, glimpse honey to the hive and the melody to birds. The death of magic thinking. That might seem like some sort of description of abuse or a crime, but it's actually a relatively innocent moment of cruel mischief. 6 months later, that boy might be dreaming of a girl, you know, inviting him to put his hand up her skirt, you know, but in that moment, it's only fear, you know.
It makes me think of the era in which this album came about, and this terrible sort of time when we all kind of had a fall from innocence in some ways, when we realized how awful and how difficult and trying, but yet in many ways how great the world can still be.
Well, I think that's true. I haven't, you know, there's a song on this record called Turn the Red Rose Blue, and somebody that heard it for the first time without knowing what, you know, following the lyric in any detail, which you wouldn't expect them to do on one hearing, asked if it's something to do with political allegiance or flags or something. It says it has absolutely nothing to do with that. You know, I'm talking about a couple enduring a terrible sorrow which causes them to doubt the very love between them. So, you know, the rose is the rose of a romantic love and the blue is the blue of melancholy. You know, if you want it explained, I mean, I think you can hear it in the melody of the song, you can hear it in the performance. I'm not trying to aggrandize the songs. I'm not trying to pick arguments, but the one thing I didn't want is to write all these songs with a final refrain that says, and the moral of the story is, there is a scoundrel at the end of this record called Mr. Crescent who reflects back on his life and, you know, the petty crimes he's committed, the swindles he's done, a woman that he once seduced who happens to be a novice. And at the very end of the song, he's still longing for her. I'll leave it to the listener to decide whether his desire for her and was actually love.
Yeah. What about this point in your career? I was just thinking about this interview, and it struck me that you have produced so much over the years. Your fans, they're diehards. They know all your albums. What could you tell us about yourself?
It's a funny thing. I've said for years, if everybody that knows my name ever turned up at the record shop on the same day, I'd sell more records than Elvis Presley. You know, but they don't. It's lots of separate audiences. And the curious thing is the reputation of some songs is much greater than its actual success. Allison, you know, probably my best known song from the very early days on my first record. Yes, it was on a very big selling Linda Ronstadt record, but it was never a single by her. And when I released it as a single, it bombed. Allison. It's odd the way the reputation of these songs has kind of gathered. over 44, 45 years. I'm glad of that because in a concert, I have options between, you know, I was recently on the road in America with the Impostors. We had Charlie Sexton playing guitar with us. The Impostors played several of the songs from Hey Clockface from just last year, along with lots of other tunes from all of my catalog, but six or seven songs from The Boy Named If that nobody'd ever heard before. They had quite the impact when we suddenly played Farewell OK or Penelope Apeny. You know, you can understand it even if you don't grasp every word. That was an exciting feeling, you know. So I never count on anything. I never count on applause for any song, no matter what age. You've got to put it over.
Grammy-winning Hall of Fame musician Elvis Costello, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Keep well, and I'll see you down the road.